I'm going to introduce you to Esther. I met Esther a couple of months ago, but previous to that, I'd had the opportunity to go into Horfield Prison several months ago with a charity called Mentor Me that I'd come across. And it was an incredible experience. It was a humbling experience going into this prison with people with a real heart for offenders, ex-offenders. And just going around the prison with these two ladies who were trying to engage prisoners in a mentoring program to really transform their lives, and seeing the reputation they had in the prison with the staff, but also the relationships they were able to build with the prisoners, was an amazing experience. And when I asked someone to come and speak from Mentor Me, I was introduced to Esther. Now, Esther's part of Ebenezer Church in Filton, if you know that, and has been working for Mentor Me for a little while now, but I'm sure she'll tell you more about that. And there are several reasons that I wanted Esther to come and share today. I'm just going to share those with you to give you a bit of context. Firstly, Mentor Me work with some of the most vulnerable people in our society, people that Jesus was drawn to. And I think it's really important to hear about that. Many ex-offenders are looking for community, a place that they can be accepted and loved and welcomed, places like Alma. And I think this is a great opportunity for us to reflect and say, are we that type of community? Are we ready to accept some of the most vulnerable in society? And Mentor Me is an amazing ministry right on our doorstep in Bristol. And it's important that the church in Bristol gets behind it and prays for and is aware of people like Esther and are able to support her in prayer. So Esther, come on up. Can we give Esther a little round of applause, actually? Feels appropriate. And I'm just going to pray for you, if that's all right. Make sure I haven't taken your notes. Lord, thank you so much for Esther. Thank you for her passion and her enthusiasm. Thank you for her willingness to give her time to share with us this morning. Would you challenge us and speak to us and bless Esther as she shares? In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Simon. So, yeah, as has been said a few times, my name is Esther Champion, and I go to Ebenezer Church. If you ever go to Ebby and you say you've met Esther, you have to be specific with the surname, because there's a few Esthers there. So if you do ever go, just be specific. And as Simon said, I work for Mentor Me, which is a project of the charity 61. And I'm going to talk a little bit more later on about the specifics of Mentor Me and what we do. But before I do, we're going to just watch a short video.
Just wanting to go to prison, you know, just for a break. That was kind of a real rock bottom for me. Thinking everyone's, you know, no one understands. You're the only one who feels like that, you know. I used to think, you know, there isn't another way. There's living rather than just existing, you know. I'm just so grateful now. I wake up in the morning, I'm not thinking about where I'm going to get my next drugs, you know, to cope with life. It's like a feeling you can't really explain. I just feel joy, you know. I've wanted to be clean and sober for, you know, over 15 years. And I'm finally there.
So that's Brenton. Brenton was one of our mentees, and he came to us a few years ago, and he's now actually one of our mentors. So it's great to be able to celebrate with him and know how far he's come through the support that he's been given. But I wonder if there are some of us here who are feeling a little bit like Brenton felt. We don't feel like there's anyone who understands us or our situation, and we want a bit of a break. Perhaps we feel like there isn't another way. We feel trapped, and we feel like we are existing rather than living. And maybe some of us are relying on things that aren't good for us, and we want to be free of them. The Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And today we're going to be reading from Isaiah 61, But before we do, I just want to give a little bit of context about where the book of Isaiah is coming from. So the book of Isaiah is urging the people to care for the poor and the needy, to commit to follow God's ways and pursue social and economic justice. It speaks of coming judgment because of Israel's failures, but also of promised restoration and reconciliation and the nations turning to God. And the wider connotations of as the Israelites return to Jerusalem, the nations will return to Jesus. It speaks of salvation. So if you have Bibles and you want to turn with me to Isaiah 61, we're going to start with verses 1 and 2, as you can see on the screen. We're also then going to look at these same words in the book of Luke, just to see what they say in there too. So Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 2. It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies." And then if we just move on to Luke 4. So these are the words that Jesus says when he's in Nazareth in his hometown. So he repeats them. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." So before we delve into these passages, I'm just going to give again a little bit of a context of what was going on for the Israelites at that time. So when this prophecy was said, the Israelites had just returned to the promised land from being in exile. So they were free people, but yet they would have still been people captive within their society, both physically and psychologically. You've got to remember that they've been in exile for quite some time and they've just been able to go back to their land, but there's going to be an element of fear still in them. Fear of threats from other nations, fear that their land will be taken away from them again and they're going to be held captive again. And I feel that in our situation where we are in our country, that we are a free nation as well here, but yet there are people in prison, there are people in slavery, there are people that physically aren't free, but also emotionally there are people who are living in fear. And as Simon said, as we see the incidents going on around the world, there is an element of fear that people feel. Fear about the future of Brexit, fear about what happened in London just the other day with the bombings. But Jesus came so that we would be free, free in him and in his promises. So let's look a little bit more then at the passage and see what it says. So it says, "For the Lord has anointed me." So this passage is talking about Jesus. And like I said, in Luke 4, we see that Jesus is talking these words to in the synagogue in Nazareth, in his hometown. And he is saying that he has come to fulfill that promise, that that is his purpose. What we read and what Jesus says, he is him that has come to set the captives free. Jesus came to proclaim the good news. And as followers of Jesus, it's up to us to also share that good news. He says that he came to comfort the brokenhearted. Jesus is also a healer. He's not just an evangelist. He came to give relief to comfort to those who are burdened and distressed, to those who society has said are not good enough. And again, as people who love Jesus, this is what Jesus is wanting for us, to say to those people who are distressed, who are burdened, that they are loved just like Jesus loves them. It says that he came to proclaim that captives will be released. And this relates back to the year of Jubilee. And in Leviticus 25, it says this: "Set this year apart as holy, a time to proclaim freedom throughout the land for all who live there. It will be a jubilee year for you, when each of you may return to the land that belonged to your ancestors and return to your own clan." And back in those times, that after 7 years, a slave would be released and they had a choice of whether to return home or stay with their master. And it was a time where people could go back to where they came from. But it also relates to the bondage of sin and death and slavery to the world. The passage also goes on to say that prisoners will be freed. And in Luke, it says that the blind will see. Jesus came to open the eyes of those who were blind, not just physically, but also spiritually. He came that they would see the truth, and as it says in John 8:32, and that the truth would set them free. Jesus came so that our eyes would be opened spiritually, and that people would no longer be trapped or prisoners. And then it ends and says that the time of the Lord's favor has come. When God gives us his free gift of grace and acceptance, if we choose to accept that, we can be free. It's a time when our debts have been cancelled and we can receive that gift of forgiveness of God. So what I'd like you to do now, and some people really hate doing this, but bear with me, is just turn to someone around you, in front of you, behind you, next to you, whatever, and just answer this question. What does the word freedom mean to you? Just have a quick 1 minute chat. Be brave. Okay, I can hear lots of good chat going on, but I'll bring it back and hopefully you can continue these chats a little bit later. So the definition of freedom, according to Google and various dictionaries, is the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants. The state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. The state of not being subject to or affected by something undesirable. The state of being free within society from oppressive restrictions imposed by authority on one's behaviour or political views. And sadly, though, we live in a world today where people still aren't free. Modern slavery still exists. People aren't free to worship Jesus as they want to, and people are bound by unhealthy ties. We still don't live in a world where this definition exists for everyone. But was that God's intention? No. God wants us to be free. He wants us to live in a world where there's no fear. He doesn't want us to have fear in our hearts, and he doesn't want people to be enslaved to things or as to be slaves to people. God came so that we could have that freedom to choose to be in relationship with him and to choose to do his will. And he sent Jesus so that we could be free to do those things. So I'm going to move on and talk a bit about 61 and Mentor Me. So 61 is the overall charity, and we have a number of partners that all link together to form this charity. And each partner that we have all supports ex-offenders or people who are on the streets in one way, shape or form. And there's a bit more information about the work of 61 just on the table over there. But the whole idea around 61 is to enable people to take back their lives, to be free from whatever is binding them, and to support them in changing their lives to give them a positive and brighter future. And this is the team. We are a team of six. So I think also all of us are part-time as well, so it makes for an interesting balance when we have teams. But we all work together and we all have a lot of fun. And Mentor Me, and moving on to Mentor Me, is a project of 61. And the definition of mentoring that we say is that mentoring is to support and encourage people to manage their own lives in order that they maximize their potential, develop their skills, and become the person that they want to be. Now, did you know that the majority of offenders, 97% in fact, express a desire to stop offending? And when they were asked what factors would be important in their rehabilitation, most stressed the importance of having a job, somewhere to live, and support on release. And at the moment, there's about 85,000 people in prison in the UK, and 5% of those are women. And that is a huge proportion of people that are in prison. And for me, I personally don't think it's acceptable, but that's because I have a heart for prisoners. But also, having worked in the prison system for quite a long time, there are, in my opinion, people in prison who shouldn't be there because they can't get the support that they need. And that's where, as Mentor Me, we step in and we're able to take people on release from prison and start supporting them. So how do we do it? What we do is, one of my jobs is to go into Bristol Prison half a day a week, and we get referrals from the prisoners themselves or from other agencies that are working in there who recognise someone who might need our support. We'll go and have a conversation with that person, and we'll find out what support they need, and we find out whether they're really ready to change. Because that's the thing. You can have all the desire in the world to support someone, but unless they're ready to support themselves and change themselves,